Dylan once said, "Here's the thing with me and religion. I find the religiosity and philosophy in the music. I don't find it anywhere else. Songs like 'Let Me Rest on a Peaceful Mountain' or 'I Saw the Light,' that's my religion. I don't adhere to rabbis, preachers, evangelists, all of that. I've learned more from the songs than I've learned from anywhere else. The songs are my lexicon. I believe the songs. I have had ever-evolving daily spiritual practices. For a good while, my main practice was to crank up the stereo, stick my head between the speakers, and blast John Lennon's Instant Karma, singing along as loudly as I could. Thank you. Thank you. I was singing along. The song pretty much sums up my entire theology. Sometimes I think that instead of a sermon, we could just play the song every Sunday. And if it really, really sank in for everyone, it would be all you need to know ever. Instant Karma is scripture for me. I love its directness and humor and surprise. Lennon doesn't dance around or mince words. The song whoops us upside the head in the very first verse. Instant Karma's gonna get you, gonna knock you right in the head. You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead. Wake up, darling. You are alive and you're gonna die. The late Forest Church held this truth to be the beginning of all spiritual yearning and religious questions. Religion is our human response to the dual reality of being alive and having to die. Only by awakening, not just to the possibilities, but also to the limits of our existence, can we encounter who we are by discovering how much we have to lose and how precious it is. Humans are probably the only creatures with such profound foreknowledge of our own mortality. This terrible truth leads us to the questions of why we are here. What matters in our lives? What death means? It is so amazing to be alive and conscious. Surely our lives must have meaning and purpose. This is another coming of age year for your junior high school youth. They are already meeting with their mentors and wrestling with such big questions. They will be crafting credo statements to present in a service this spring, which I hear is one that many of you eagerly anticipate. I always love the time that I get to spend with our magnificent young people through this process. A few years ago in my previous church, I had a little trouble reaching one group. They were a bit shy, awkward, and very, very quiet. It wasn't the full-on sullen that teens can affect so masterfully. Just slouching in their seats, avoiding eye contact, saying very little despite my best efforts. Somewhere in my head, I knew not to take it personally, but I was dying inside. Finally, in exasperation, I looked hard at them and said, "You are all going to die." "So what does that mean about being alive?" They straightened up in their seats a little, and we did get a conversation going. Yet all the while, I was wondering what their parents would think if they asked, "What did you talk about with Reverend Dana?" And the kids answered, "She told us we're all going to die." Maybe I could have just played them Instant Karma and let it say everything. It does sum up my theology. Our mortality defines our lives, It is the first human paradox. We are alive, we're going to die, so what will we do with this one wild and precious life? All the rest flows from this ultimate challenge, this indwelling paradox that leads us straight into another. We know at some level what is best for us, what makes for a good and meaningful life. And yet, too often we take short-term gratification over long-term satisfaction. We live out self-defeating, even self-destructive patterns and habits. We do not reach our full potential. We love conditionally. Sometimes we are lucky and get smacked upside the head. More often, we don't. More often, love is offered to us, but we either reject it or find a way to mess it up again. This breaks John Lennon's heart and brings him to ask, "What in the world are you thinking of, laughing in the face of love?" But of course, he just taunts us a little bit more. "How in the world are you going to see, laughing at fools like me? Who on earth do you think you are, a superstar?" We can be so intellectual and superior, thinking we know better than everyone else, especially us independent, well-educated, sometimes hyper-educated Unitarian Universalists. So Lennon asks, how are we going to get ourselves together if we always are turning away from love? Who do we think we are? A superstar like John Lennon? And of course, he turns it back around to us again. Who on earth do you think you are? A superstar? Well, all right, you are. For we all shine on, like the moon and the stars and the sun. We all shine on. Come on, everyone. Despite it all, despite our arrogance, our fear, even as we laugh in the face of love and get more wrong than we get right, we are all bright, shining beings, capable of great love, capable of creating beauty and meaning. We all shine on and on and on. That's the line that I always sing the loudest. Yet Lennon doesn't stop there, and neither can we. For this living as bright, shining beings requires something of you. It's not all about you. We're still in the song for a bit of a pummeling. Instant karma's gonna get you, gonna knock you off your feet. Better recognize your brothers, everyone you meet. If you are a bright, shining being, then so is everyone else. Our next theological lesson. Another we know in our minds and hearts, though it's hard to live by all the time. If I am a divine being, then so are you, so are we all. When we look into one another's faces, the divine is looking back. We should never dismiss another, for if we do, we might miss the chance of being touched by an angel. Sometimes, ironically, it can be easier to see divine humanity in a stranger on the street. But Lennon tells us we must recognize our brothers in everyone we meet. We must see the face of the divine in the loan officer refusing to renegotiate a loan, in the impatient, rude sales clerk, in the driver who won't let you merge, in the face of a governor trying to block same-sex marriage, in the face of a sullen and bored teenager who hasn't taken out the trash after being asked 5 times, in the face of your beloved who just did that thing that most annoys you, and it has to be on purpose. We are here to recognize our common humanity, a common divinity. We are profoundly connected to each other and all of creation. At last, Lenin asks the ultimate religious question. Why in the world are we here? His response, surely not to live in pain and fear. And yet somehow we do. We always manage to find the pain, find the fear. Ultimately, I think that's why we so often laugh in the face of love. We are defending tender, vulnerable, hurting souls. Sometimes we take the pain out on others. Sometimes we take it out on ourselves. We find so many ways to break the bonds of love. I was out at dinner at a Chinese restaurant with a friend a few years back, and our fortune cookies arrived with the bill, and mine was an odd twist on the golden rule. It said, treat others the way you treat yourself. Hearing this, my friend looked me fiercely in the eye and said, don't you dare. This friend knows very well the wicked inner critical voice that can say the most appalling things to me, things I would never say to another soul. The paradox of being alive in bodies that are ultimately mortal is that it gives us an opportunity to experience the exquisiteness of life and to love one another well. And it makes us so aware of our vulnerability. Loving that which is mortal is a recipe for pain. We are always balancing in this grand paradox. Marianne Williamson speaks directly to this paradox. Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. So often, it is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. And yet, we were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in all of us. As we let our own light shine, we give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. We all shine on, like the moon and the stars and the sun. Perhaps the most important thing we can do is to live by that light, for it can help us to see the divine light in others. When we stop living out of the body of pain and fear and live into the light and goodness, we are moved to liberate and heal all. So go ahead, shine. The kind of karma that John Lennon is talking about is not the kind that determines our fate in the next life. It's not even the what goes around comes around variety of karma. Rather, it is an instant karma. Not about past or future lives, but right here, right now. Karma can whack us in the face and whack us and wake us up. And remember, this is the same Lenin who imagined no heaven or hell, or where all the people shared all the world. Lenin was profoundly spiritual. He was also a humanist. What matters is in this life, in this world, right now. I resonate deeply with this profoundly spiritual humanism. So many religions respond to the terrible fact of our mortality by imagining a heaven and a hell, or reincarnation that gives us more chances to get it right. I personally am agnostic about the afterlife. There's no way to know while we are alive, so I do what I can in this life to get myself together, to live well and kindly, to recognize my sisters and brothers, my fellow humans, to move beyond pain and fear, to let my light shine. If I do, any afterlife that there might possibly be, I figure will work itself out. No matter what, no matter what, my life will have been for the good. So here is a summation of my theology as learned from John Lennon. We are alive and we're going to die. This gives us the chance to live and love well, but we still manage to hurt ourselves and others, and it can be heartbreaking. Yet the deeper truth is that we are all bright, shining beings. The highest path we can follow is to understand the divinity within ourselves and to seek it in others. We are all profoundly connected to one another and to creation. What matters most is what we do in this life. We don't have to live in pain and fear all the time, even if living in this world is often hard. We need to let our light shine and to seek the light in others. Let us go forth and let it be so. Amen, and blessed be.